This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Thursday, August 14th, 2009. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, broadcasting live here at the wonderful MGM Grand Hotel in Connecticut. It's been a wonderful first day so far, for us at least. The conference officially kicked off on when, Ryan?
On Wednesday.
On Wednesday. We started broadcasting here on Thursday. We spoke with four wonderful individuals who have a lot to share, and that is what this first podcast of the conference is going to be about. We start off speaking with Mr. Greg Gazin, and he is going to speak to us about a very creative contest that he came up with for his district to encourage high-quality Toastmasters websites.
And next we speak with Mamuna Natasha, who is attending the conference all the way from Indonesia, and she speaks about her impressions of the conference so far.
And then we speak with a good friend of mine, Jim Kakachi, a past international director from Canada, and he's going to speak to us a little bit about voting and politics within Toastmasters.
And finally, we speak with Mr. Bruce Tolgan, who is the Golden Gavel Award recipient for this 2009 conference.
So stay tuned, relax, and enjoy. Ryan and I are here with Greg Gazin. Greg, how are you today?
Pretty good, guys.
Good. Greg, you just told me an interesting story about your Toastmasters website contest you had. Could you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, 2 years ago, I'm with District 42. We're Alberta, Saskatchewan, Canada. And 2 years ago, as the public relations officer, but also being a gadget guy, a gadget geek, I decided that we were going to do something with technology as a promotion to help promote Toastmasters and get clubs going. And so we put on a contest called Weave Your Way to the Web. Ironically, that year, our district governor's theme was Weave Your Dreams to Success. So it worked out really, really well. And so the whole idea was to encourage every club to have a website or at least have a web page, because you're out there, websites out there 24/7. So what we did is we do what Toastmasters do well is we actually had a contest.
How many clubs do you have in
your
district?
We have two. At the time, I think there were about 252. I think it was 252.
Okay.
And so the whole idea was to encourage clubs to have either a website or, I already said that, have a website or at least a web page.
Right.
And so we wanted to encourage clubs to go out and create those. And so what we did is we said, okay, we're going to have a contest for the best website, but there's this great product out there, which is, of course,
I think I know which one you're referring to.
Wonderful music to your ears is Free Toast Host. Now, although we did want clubs to create a website that reflected their club, Free Toast Host is an incredible product, and although it is somewhat scripted, there's templates, there's a lot you can really do with it. So what we did is we created a secondary category. So we were able to have a prize for the best original website,
right,
but also the best Free Toast Host website. We got Canon Canada involved. We shared our vision with them. They donated a couple of video cameras. So each the winner in each category would get a video camera.
That's a pretty high-end prize. How'd you pull that off?
Well, we explained to them what our vision was. We talked to them about Toastmasters. Ironically, one of the marketing directors from Canon Canada happened to be in Edmonton because they were sponsoring the Edmonton Oilers, and they were hooking up with some of the local media people, and they wanted to talk to us about the Canon products.
Okay.
And so
I got to ask you this, Greg. Were there any background bribes involved in this contest?
No, not
backroom deals.
Yeah,
backroom deals
with all these expensive products going on.
Well, the great thing is that I got to play with some of the toys, which is what I do. I'm a gadget guy.
Right.
But the other thing we did is we got a local video producer, RebelVideo.com, to donate a 3-minute promotional video, which was worth about $3,000, to the winner as well.
Wow.
The turnout was incredible. The participation was way beyond our expectations. We thought, because creating websites and doing Free Toast Host, it's a lot of work. It's not something that you can do overnight.
Right.
We thought, well, maybe if we get, 10, 12%, maybe 10 or 15 clubs would be great. We had 78 clubs. We had over 30% participation, and it was a phenomenal success. But not only that, it brought more people into Toastmasters, but also clubs. They were coming up and going, geez, we've been wanting to do a website. We've been thinking about it.
This was the motivation.
Here was the carrot. And the original website was fantastic, and it's amazing what FreeToast Host can do. There is so much flexibility that what's really nice is that you've got some structure, you've got some things that, hey, okay, this is the way it works, so it's consistent.
Right.
But then each club can really take it and make it their own.
Cool. Yeah. So the promotion in your eyes was a complete and total success.
It was way beyond our expectations. What was really helpful is our district was behind it as well. So, and of course, I got to keep my moniker as being the gadget guy.
So. Yeah. Nice.
What we also did is Joe McKay, who is the owner of Revo Video, he said, Greg, you know, we've got to really get a promotion out there. So he actually created a 30-second video of it. So that was my first foray into being being on video or being in a commercial, I should say.
Gotcha.
TV star.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because we shot it in about 20 minutes and comes back to me next day and shows me the video and it's like, oh, cool. And then, of course, put it up on the Toastcaster website as well. So
that's great.
It was a lot of fun, an absolute blast, and very successful, and really helped promote Toastmasters and show people what can be done.
Well, it's a great idea, and I think somebody could from other districts could take this and run with it and have the same type of success that you had.
Duplicate your success.
Yeah, maybe not as much, because you are a successful guy, but at least close to it.
A number of other districts in our region actually did adopt it, and we make all the material available. What's also very unique is, as judges, I mean, I did not want to have the responsibility, not to mention the amount of time it would take to judge all those entries. What we did is we got people from the digital media associations across the country, and also even one of the district webmasters, Pat Hannon, who was now the past district governor for 24, she was the PRO, but we got people from the digital industry involved as judges, and we got them to judge the original websites and the Free Toast Host website, and we also opened the doors to having Toastmasters become more aware of digital and new media, but also allowed them to be able to learn more about
Toastmasters. Right.
So, and although some of them are really good speakers, there's some of them that can really use it too.
Of course. Sure. I think everybody could really use it, even if we are good speakers, right? That's what we say here at Toastmasters. All right, Greg, thank you very much for taking the time and sharing that wonderful story with us.
It's an absolute blast, and thank you for having that particular product.
All right. Ryan and I are here with Jim Kukachi, the past international director. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing awesome.
Fantastic.
Fabulous.
Run into Jim all the time at these shindigs. You're here. Have you ever missed one? Ever?
Well, not since my first one, 1999, in New Orleans.
Good for you.
I've been to all of them since.
And you drove down here?
This time I drove, yes.
How long of a ride?
9 hours from St. John, New Brunswick.
Well, worth it.
Nine hours.
We're not going to feel sorry for you because we just spoke with the woman from Indonesia.
Yes, Maimuna Natasha.
Right.
Very good.
Say that again.
Maimuna Natasha.
Very impressive.
Maimuna.
It took me about 14 times to get that one right. Yeah, she flew 30 hours.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Jim, tell us a little bit about the voting that goes on here, the campaigning for international director. How is that different from what most Toastmasters are used to in their district and voting for district governor and so forth?
There's a few differences, guys. So I guess one around the process. It's important for club presidents. They receive a 5x7 proxy around March. That's for the regional conferences, if you're within North America, and one for the annual convention that you need to bring here to be able to cast a vote. So it's a very important part of the process to make sure your club's voice is represented, whether the club's voting or you're sending that to the district governor so that's represented. And actually, we'd only have about 30% of the club's votes cast here this week because all the proxies don't get remitted.
Oh, right.
So if you come here as a president of a club without a proxy,
no vote.
No,
people
nothing.
People need to see the 5x7 card.
There's no exception either. You can't say that like your dog ate it or something. and you gotta...
I've tried that, Bo, but no, that doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Huh? And what's the next step? When are we going to find out if these international directors actually won or not?
All the voting takes place Friday morning at the business meeting. So right now behind us, it's Thursday afternoon, and we've got a lot of booths set up and people going around talking to the candidates. And it's a really important decision because we're selecting people for the board of directors to lead the decision-making, strategy development for this organization in the future. The decisions we take in 2009 and 2010 are going to affect us into 2013, 14, and 15. So important that we elect people who've got a view of the global organization, whether somebody's in Malaysia or Ireland or China or India, Sri Lanka, or Boston, Massachusetts. So important to talk to folks, understand their view of how this organization is going to continue to grow and support our members well.
So I can see it's pretty easy coming here to the International Convention and speaking with the candidates and
yes.
getting to get a sense of who they are and what they're about and what they stand for. But how do people get a sense of who they are and what they're about and who they stand for if they're not here?
Here at the convention.
Right. Probably the best way is the Toastmasters International website. There's a section called Candidates Corner mm-hmm. where all the folks are listed, some background criteria, typically a link to a website with lots of great educational material for individual members, for club leaders, for district leaders, contact information as well. So use that to start to tap into our potential.
Come to think of it, the occasional call, too, the little telemarketing call. I remember as Lieutenant Governor Markiner, I used to get a couple of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Bo Bennett, how are you? Who's this?
Want to make a difference?
Yeah. Well,
all right, what are you selling?
It's important for our potential leaders to understand what are the issues in District 31.
Right.
What are the issues in our growing markets like India, China, et cetera, mature markets versus relatively virgin markets.
Right. Yeah, I got to tell you, as soon as I figured out it was a Toastmaster running for international director, I loosened up completely when I realized I didn't have to buy any light bulbs.
No long distance, huh?
So, Jim, tell me, how competitive does it get running for international director? Do you have, like, backbiting and backstabbing? And...
Oh, not really, Ryan.
No.
It's we've got a very respectful organization.
Of course.
No scandals?
No
conspiracies?
No scandals. You know, folks are here because they want to serve. Serving as an international director is not a break-even, standpoint. People are going to end up spending some money to run,
right.
And even when they serve, so they're doing it for the right reasons, so I find people conduct themselves with great integrity.
So what you're saying is Oliver Stone would have no interest whatsoever in making a movie based on.
I don't see him around. Yes. I see Ryan and Bo, but I don't see Oliver Stone.
All right, yeah, he couldn't make it.
Well, it sounds fascinating. I do actually look forward to the business meeting. The business meeting here at International is quite different from the local ones.
Well, it is. It starts at 8 o'clock on Friday morning and runs till about 11 a.m. So we've got a lot of votes to cast. We'll cast about 11,000, 12,000 votes tomorrow.
Right.
It's a large event where we will elect 9 international directors and 4-5 senior officers.
All right.
Yes.
Well, hopefully by tomorrow or sometime we'll have a report of who won and some of the stats that come out of that important meeting. Jim, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
And thank you for your service.
Us. Yes,
thank you.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
It's much appreciated.
Thanks for what you're doing here.
Bye-bye. Ryan and I are here with Maimuna Natasha. How are you?
I'm very fine, very great.
And where did you come from?
I come from Indonesia.
Holy
moly. Indonesia, wow.
Yes,
long
yes.
way from home.
Oh, away from home.
How long of a trip? Tell us.
About 30 hours.
Wow.
Now you know.
That's dedication.
That
right
is
there.
Dedication.
Right.
30 plus hours.
Has it been worth it so far?
Oh, yes. I love Toastmasters, and I've been almost in all conventions except one.
Whoa.
And you are not just a regular Toastmaster. You are a... Tell us what you are. Tell us what you've earned in this fine establishment.
Oh, I was the international director for 2003 to 2005. But I believe I'm a regular Toastmaster because it's so important to be a Toastmaster.
Right. But you'll always be the past international...
Yes.
You'll always be a PID, correct?
Yes, always
past
be a
international
PID.
Director.
Yes.
Well, Maimuna, I'd like to talk to you about the Golden Gavel Luncheon. Mm-hmm. How was that?
Oh, I thought it was, I believe, it is so good. The speaker looks so young, and I think it is so good for him to speak about young people.
Yeah.
About the next generation.
Have you ever heard of this gentleman before?
No.
No, so this was the first time,
yes,
your first introduction
time.
To him?
Yes.
And can you give us kind of the 30-second overview of the takeaway? What did you take away from his speech?
First, I learned from him that young people is just so important. And number two, I learned some tricks of how to handle the young people.
Mm-hmm.
And also know that the young people will be the future leaders, and it's okay for them to be the bosses.
So how to handle the young people, like taking off your belt and giving them a good whack? Does he talk about that?
I think we have to consider that the young people has so much potential, mm-hmm. and they are just so important, like who we are, like me, I'm almost 70. Sometimes I believe that young people is always a kid.
I'm going to say, Mamuna, you do look young, but you don't look 17.
Oh, thank you so much, because I have, I'm very young at heart.
Very good. I have a question for you, Mamuna.
Yes.
Mr. Tolgan spoke a lot about Generation X and Generation Y.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming he was primarily speaking about the experience we have here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
How did his descriptions of Gen X and Gen Y compare to your experience of young people in Indonesia?
I believe what he was saying, that the young generations is really the future boss and future leaders that we really have, or not only future, but actually the leaders now.
Mm-hmm.
The problem in the whole world, the same in Indonesia or in America, we the older generation, oh no, the more senior generation.
The wiser.
Yes, the wiser. We feel that we are wiser, we know more, and we do not give enough space for the younger generation. Actually, I think the answer is we are insecure.
Mm. Interesting take on that.
Mm.
So overall, you very much enjoyed the Golden Gavel lunch. How was the food? That's what I want to know. Ryan, you were there too.
Okay.
Yes.
You see, I don't take much of the chickens, and especially with all the breast. I love the food, but the chicken is too much meat for me.
How about the shrimp?
Prawn. Oh, the shrimp is excellent. And also the, the pumpkins? Oh, excellent.
Right.
They were serving pumpkins?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe
it was tasty.
Maybe you didn't pay attention. But
I wasn't there. I didn't get to go.
It was delicious.
You wasn't there. Oh,
somebody stole my ticket. I think it was Ryan.
You didn't pay for a ticket, Bo.
If only you told me,
I would give you my ticket.
Oh,
and then we go together.
Oh, well, what else is coming up
the
rest of the weekend, Bo, that you haven't registered for?
Yeah, do some freeloading here. So what are you, you're going to stay till Sunday, I take it, correct?
Yes.
If you're coming all this way, you're not going to come for one event and then go home.
No,
definitely not.
I'll be leaving Sunday early morning. My flight will be 6 o'clock, and I leave this hotel about 2:30 in the morning.
Did you come alone, or did you come with other people from your district?
From my country?
Yeah,
oh,
from
no.
Your country.
From my districts, there are a few of us, but from my country, I came here alone.
Okay.
But yet we have someone from Indonesia and also from Malaysia.
But you're never really alone in Toastmasters, are you?
No, never. No. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and thank you very much for sharing your insight.
Thanks for stopping by.
It was insightful.
It is an honor, and I believe it is a privilege. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Bo and I are here with Mr. Bruce Tolgan, who is the 2009 Golden Gavel recipient. Bruce, first of all, congratulations.
Congratulations, Bruce.
Thank you so much. It is truly the single greatest honor that I've ever received. It really is.
What was it like? Did you get a telephone call from Toastmasters International, or was it a formal letter? Or did like one of those guys dressed up in the old 1600 suits knock at the door with a scroll and
balloons?
I got a letter by overnight special delivery.
Wow.
And it's good that it came that way, because my office said, well, this looks important. And I looked at it and I said, this must be a mistake.
Yeah. That would really stink if you opened it up like after the convention. Like, oh.
Yeah. So
you'd probably follow with the phone
call.
Gig.
Yeah.
I was thrilled to get it, of course. And the list of people who have won in the past is pretty humbling.
It sure is. It's
it says a lot
impressive.
About you.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Right.
Well, thanks.
You're among good company, I'll tell you that much.
I'll have to live up to it.
Now, Ryan, you had the honor of seeing this gentleman speak.
I certainly did. It was absolutely fantastic. And you said a lot of things, Bruce, that I think were maybe counterintuitive. Things maybe that we weren't expecting to hear. Like, for example, you talked about the myth of empowerment. I wonder if maybe you could just give a quick 15-second summary of the myth of empowerment. We could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, the myth of empowerment goes like this, that somehow the way to empower people is to leave them alone and let them do things however they think it should be done,
mm-hmm.
To leave people alone to work on their own, unsupervised. Mm-hmm. And the myth is that somehow if you leave people alone to do things their own way without supervision, then they'll do their best work.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that most people do their best work when they have guidance, direction, support, and coaching from a more experienced person. So I always say sink or swim is not empowerment, it's negligence. Reinvent the wheel is not empowerment, it's negligence. Right. Do it however you think it should be done, even though it's not up to you. It's not empowerment, it's negligence. Mm-hmm. Real empowerment takes hard work on the part of a leader, manager, supervisor. Real empowerment is about supporting, guiding, and directing people. That's real empowerment. It may be limited power, mm-hmm. but it has the virtue of being real power.
Yeah. Right. Now, I could imagine when somebody hears that, they scream micromanagement.
Exactly.
And I noticed a section in your book that clarified that a little bit without having to read the chapter. Can you tell me? Because I'm lazy like that.
Well, I think micromanagement is a household word, but I also think it's a big red herring. Mm-hmm. And at least based on our research, micromanagement is a molehill compared to a mountainous problem, which is undermanagement. Real micromanagement is very rare. Usually, if you think somebody is micromanaging, really it's undermanagement in disguise. You know, like, for example, if you have to check with your boss before you make a decision or take action, are you being micromanaged? I don't think so. I think you're being undermanaged because nobody has told you if A happens, you do B, if C happens, you do D, if E happens, you do F, if G happens, you do H. That's real empowerment. It's limited power, but it's real empowerment. Yeah. Often, micromanagement, what looks like micromanagement, is really a manager who hasn't done the hard work of delegating goals, spelling out a timeline, spelling out all the guidelines and specifications. And then what happens is, instead of setting somebody up for success, you set somebody up to fail, and then the manager comes in and says, well, what are you doing it that way for? Didn't you know we have a checklist for that?
Right.
And most employees are sitting there thinking, hey, why don't you give me the checklist when you gave me the assignment?
Sure.
So my view is that maybe the only real example of micromanagement is the foreman looking over the shoulder of the carpenter, you know, put the first nail here, let's hold the hammer together, whack, whack, whack. Maybe that's micromanagement. And even in that case, usually it comes down to one of a few possibilities. One possibility is the manager is obsessive compulsive. That's not a management problem, it's a medical problem. You need to get that guy some tablets.
Right.
Sometimes what it means is that the manager is teaching. And it's just the carpenter's first day of work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes it's that the manager doesn't know how to delegate, how to say, here are the instructions. Now I'm going to let you do this, and I'll come back and check. Delegation really comes down to defining a goal and a deadline and guidelines. The only question is, how big should the goal be for this person with this task at this time? What should the timeline look like for this person with this task at this time? How many specifications need to be spelled out for this person at this time? The bottom line is, you know, under management, managers not providing enough guidance, direction, support leads to terrible consequences. Fires get started that never would have gotten started. Fires get out of control that could have been put out easily. Resources mm-hmm. get squandered. People go in the wrong direction for days or weeks or months on end. Mm-hmm. Low performers hide out and collect a paycheck. Mediocre performers mistake themselves for high performers. High performers get frustrated and think about leaving. Managers end up doing tasks that should have been delegated to someone else. Those are the consequences of undermanagement.
Right.
What are the consequences of micromanagement? It's irritating.
Angry employees.
Yeah, it's irritating. I'm pretty sure that's the only consequence. It's irritating.
Right.
So I'd go with micromanagement over undermanagement. And in fact, if you're really managing somebody closely, then very quickly you can get a sense of how much direction this person needs.
Right.
And you can step back to the appropriate sphere. But by far, undermanagement is a bigger problem than micromanagement. And micromanagement, I think, is mostly a red herring.
And all of this is in your book, It's Okay to Be the Boss. Is that correct?
It is. That's chapter one.
And this is chapter one. There you go. And then there's a lot of chapters to go. How about your other book? I saw you had two books out there.
Well, It's Okay to Be the Boss came out about 2 years ago. Okay. And I'm proud to say it's in its 20th hardcover printing.
Wow.
So this is, it's kind of like, you know, I wrote a book called Managing Generation X, which did very well. This book is doing better even mm-hmm. than that. The new book is called Not Everyone Gets a Trophy. How to Manage Generation Y.
Love the title.
Yeah. And, you know, that book is about the youngest, least experienced people in the workplace. And the reason I wrote that is because there's so many experts out there who are saying, hey, because this generation has been nurtured on self-esteem and we're all winners and everyone gets a trophy, that the way to manage them somehow is to pretend like we're all winners and give them rewards whether they perform or not. I think that's terrible advice, and I don't think it works. So, you know, my view is the most effective employer of young people in the world today is the United States Marine Corps. Are they weak and hands-off or strong and hands-on?
No, I think they're, yeah.
So, you know,
I think they use physical abuse, don't they? Are you encouraging that? Is that what we'll find in your book?
It's, you know, sometimes people say, is it just because you can make people do push-ups in the mud at 4 a.m.? And that does help.
That's part of it.
It does help. Yeah. But here's what I think. At least what I've learned is, you know, if you ask Gen Yers, hey, do you want your boss to make the workplace fun for you? Usually they'll say, no, I know how to have fun on my own. What I want my boss to do is set me up for success so I can go home and have fun my own way.
Right.
And I just think it's a fundamental misconception. What most Gen Yers want is they want somebody to set them up for success, help them earn the things they want. And that's the trick. And that's the trophy book.
That's good. You know, you're a good speaker. You should be a speaker, too, instead of just a writer.
Well, you know, I don't want to scare people off from the books, but I'm not as good of a writer as I am at giving talks, it turns out.
So. Well, I was thumbing through. It looks quite fascinating.
Well, thanks. I did my best.
Great. So what's next after this for you?
Well, the book I'm writing right now is called It's Okay to Manage Your Boss.
Uh-huh.
And it's for the other side of the equation.
Ooh, interesting.
It's because, you know, we do the It's Okay to Be the Boss program in companies all over. And often at the end of it, the managers say something like, now, could you go tell our employees we're going to go do this? And so then, you know, we created a program called It's Okay to Manage Your Boss. And it's really to teach staff people how to own their part of the management relationship.
Yeah. Mm. I like it. I look forward to it. At Barnes & Noble or on Amazon, right?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere fine books are sold.
And at rainmakerthinking.com, there's a free, totally free, completely free newsletter. So it's a weekly video newsletter.
Does you have to pay anything for that?
It's free. You're funny, too.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time. I know you were very busy. You were there for a good, 3 hours? Signing autographs, talking to people, and getting pictures. That was very nice of you.
I'm sure
all Toastmasters really appreciate that.
Oh, well, this is just, you know, really the greatest honor I've ever received. So, you know,
well,
I'm not going anywhere until you guys are done with
me. It's well-deserved.
All the best to you, Bruce.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Take care. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed today's interviews. We will be back tomorrow interviewing some more fascinating Toastmasters. Until then, my name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com. And let us know how we can help you.